This is Doug Miller. We are going to start to look at the book of Esther. So bring your Bibles, come along, and let's see what we can see.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are beginning a new book today. It is the book of Esther. I think you will find it very interesting and very profitable. So once again, bring your Bibles, come along, open up to Esther. Back in the Old Testament, between Nehemiah and Job, call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far as we can get it out, to as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, we require your support and your assistance. You've heard me say it many times. I will say it again. Please pray for Dialogue. If you have any interest in this ministry at all, if we have brought anything to you that is a blessing, that if you would like to see others tune in, please pray for us. We cannot exist without your prayers. Just write Dialogue down on your little prayer list and pray for us and support us by word of mouth. And, of course, we would always love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Now, we also have an email address if you would like to email us. The email address is Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. For those of you who like to email and don't like to write by hand, email us. Our webpage, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. Dialogueministries.org. You can pull down the programs, you can listen to them, you can read about Dialogue, what have you. If you wish to call and talk to me, our telephone, area code 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. And as I have said before, I say again, you will get a recording. Just leave a message and I will get back to you. Very well. Let's go now. Esther. One of the few books of the Bible in which the name of God is not mentioned. You might say to yourself, well, why is this book even in here? Well, as Dr. Scofield has so aptly put it, while the name of God is not mentioned, the power and the action of God is all over this book. We are looking at God as he deals with his earthly people, Israel. And this story is just intriguing and powerful. And we see the hand of God once again protecting his earthly people. And many of you out there listening to me perhaps need to listen to this. I don't know what you have been raised in or how you have been taught, but I know this. There are many, many, many people out there in the churches who are Christian or who call themselves Christian, I suppose they are, who simply think that God is through with Israel as a nation, that he's been through with them long ago. Now, And that the church has now co-opted all of the promises of Israel. And that anytime you read Israel in the Old Testament, just read the church, and you will be on safe ground. Needless to say, I do not subscribe to that position. I never have. And you will, it'll be a long time before I do, quite frankly. For those of you, if you've been listening to Dialogue for any time at all, you know very well that I don't hold to that position. And, of course, last May we had the conference here in Oklahoma City in which I took up the question, is God through with national Israel? And the answer is a resounding no. Now, for those of you who don't believe this, who believe that the people now occupying the land of Israel or parts of the land of Israel in the Middle East, for those of you who believe that these are usurpers, that they are not Israel, that God is against them, that God is in favor of the Palestinians, that God is going to see to it that a bunch of Gentiles lay claim to this land over there and that it's theirs by right, I'll pray for you. Because there is absolutely nothing in this Bible to support that. In order to believe that and to hold to that position, you must believe and hold to the position that God will not keep his unconditional promises. You've heard me say this on here before, and here it is again. God's promises to Israel, well, there are two kinds. There are some conditional promises, and there are unconditional promises. And we will talk about both of these as we look into this remarkable book, the Book of Esther. Now, there are always those who are Gentiles who say, well, if it's to the Jews, if it's about the Jews, then it has nothing to do with me. Oh, please, my friends, allow me to disabuse you of that notion. This has a great deal to do with all of us. If for no other reason, and there are other reasons, but if for no other reason than to show us that God's word is absolutely good, that you can stand on it, that you can put it in the bank, so to speak, God will keep his promises. And of course, this is seen in the simple fact of the way he has dealt with Israel. His word can be trusted. All right, so turn to Esther and let's see how this remarkable story unfolds. Now, the book opens up in the palace of Ahasuerus. And if you say, well, that's not the way my preacher pronounces that name, well, probably most of you out there listening could honestly say, my preacher's never dealt with the book of Israel. Many of you out there, perhaps the majority, have never been in a meeting where the book of Esther was dealt with at all. I know that for years I have sat in meetings and never heard this book mentioned except in a passing way, and never in most of the meetings have I been in has anyone opened up this book and gone into it systematically, line by line, verse upon verse, to see what's in it at all. We're going to remedy that right now. But now the name of this king, I have pronounced this as it looks to me. There are others who have pronounced it differently. Ahasuerus, you will hear some say. And Ahasuerus is how I intend to pronounce it. And if you say, well, that's the incorrect pronunciation, fine, write me and tell me what the correct one is, and I'll probably listen to you because I wouldn't get pushy over this. Who is this man anyway? Well, the name means Majesty of the Prince or the Lion King. It is more apt to be a title rather than a name. The Lion King. Some of you who are Walt Disney fans might like that title. Well, that's basically what the name means. This man is, and I am giving you this from history as I have read it, And this, I think, is pretty accurate. This is the son of Darius Histopses, the king who we read about in the book of Daniel. And he ruled over Persia, Media, and Babylon. And we are told from India to Ethiopia. And he was a mighty, powerful king. He is, in all probability, the Xerxes of secular history. He succeeded Darius, the king, in B.C. 485. And in the Septuagint, he is called Artaxerxes. That's how they translate this. And the Septuagint was, of course, translated out of Hebrew into Greek in about, 250, maybe 300 B.C. So these guys probably knew what they were talking about. For those of you who read history, you will be interested to know that, once again, in all probability, as I read history and as I understand it, this is the man who reigned 21 years from 486 to 465 B.C. He invaded Greece with an army of supposedly more than 2 million soldiers. Only 5,000 of them returned with him. This is the king who led the invasion in which Leonidas and the 300 Spartans died at the pass at Thermopylae. And he was defeated by Themistocles at Salamis, and one of the critical battles of history. If he had won that battle and gone into Europe, it would have changed history. We don't know exactly what it would have done. All we can do is speculate, but there's no doubt about it that this was a major turning point in Western history, the defeat of this man at Salamis and even at Thermopylae. Of course, the 300 Spartans were wiped out at Thermopylae, and but they, in dying, bought time for the Greeks to bring up their fleet. And this Salamis was a sea battle, and they absolutely destroyed the Persians in this battle. It was after his return from this invasion that we get into the story of Esther. This almost certainly occurred after he came back. So here we have him, the son of Darius Histopses. These names kind of eat me up sometimes. And here he is. It was in his days. He ruled, we see in Esther, verse 1 of chapter 1, from India to Ethiopia, over 127 provinces. And he was sitting on his throne. The book opens up of his kingdom in Shushan, the palace. Shushan means lily. And this was the palace, the same place where we read in Nehemiah of Artaxerxes sitting on his throne. And let's just talk a little bit about these people. Darius, his father, was a man who knew Daniel. And Darius is a man who apparently, now I am speculating on this somewhat, but I feel pretty strongly that this is correct. He was a man with a very high regard for Daniel. There is little doubt that he knew and understood about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Darius, the father of our man here, Ahasuerus. And therefore, we can assume that Ahasuerus also knew about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and had some teaching in this area and in this regard. And it is not at all strange when you realize this, that it was under these kings, these Persian kings, that Nehemiah was sent back to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, that Ezra was sent back to rebuild the temple, that the repatriation of the Jews began, and that many of the Jews, or some of them anyway, returned to Jerusalem and reestablished the temple worship there. The God of the heavens is how these Persian kings referred to him. They understood, if they understood anything, and many of them did, that this was Yahweh Elohim, the one and the only true and living God. They understood that the gods of the nations were Gentiles. So there was, with this man that we are looking at in here, Ahasuerus, a real understanding, from all that I am able to tell, of the truth of the living God. That is good, and that figures into our story here. Now, Esther is a Persian name. It means a star. And it's a Gentile name. And the name of our woman, our young woman that this book was named after, she actually had a Jewish name, as we shall see later on. Her Jewish name was Hadassah, which means a myrtle tree. But she came to be known as Esther, a Persian name. Now, we know, if we know anything about the Bible at all, what these Jews were doing over here in Shushan and in Babylon and in this area. They were over here because they had been carried away captive. Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, invaded Israel and invaded this area and destroyed Jerusalem and tore down the walls and destroyed the temple and carried the people away captive. And, of course, there were two separate deportations. Daniel, whom we know very well from the book of Daniel, was carried away during the first deportation. And the final deportation took place finally after the Jews that were in Jerusalem rebelled. And this took place, the final deportation, in the around 560 B.C. or thereabouts. And there was a prophecy given by Jeremiah, and we read of it in the book of Daniel. It's very clearly given to us there, that the Jews would remain captive and would not start coming back for 70 years. For 70 years they were held over there. And at the end of the 70 years, they began to come back. Well, not all of the Jews came back. In fact, most of them did not. It was a small number, actually, that left Babylon to come back. Our young lady here, Esther, was almost certainly born in Babylon. She almost certainly spoke Persian as her mother tongue, and whether or not she spoke Hebrew at all, I don't know. But I know that she was Persian, almost certainly born over there and living in the kingdom of this man Ahasuerus. Now, why were the Jews over there? Well, you know why they were over there. I said at the outset of this broadcast, if you don't believe that God is true to his word, he's true to keep his unconditional promises as well as his conditional promises. And the truth of his conditional promises and how they were fulfilled gives us reason to know that his unconditional promises will be fulfilled just as well. Now, what were the conditional promises that Israel had? Well, I can tell you very well what they were. The conditional promises had to do with their position in the land of Israel. God told them very clearly when they went in there, if you keep my laws, and if you do, you worship me, and if you avoid idolatry, and if you love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, if you keep yourself pure from these Gentiles, then you will dwell in the land, and you will be the head of the nations. And there were just many blessings promised to Israel if they would do these things. But if you will not, if you turn aside and serve other gods, and if you forsake my law, and if you do not do what I am telling you and what you have covenanted with me to do. Remember, Israel said, yes, whatever the Lord says, we will do it. Fine. If you won't, I will. You will not stay in this land. You will be expelled out of the land. You will be scattered to the ends of the earth. But back in the book of Leviticus, in which God makes these conditional promises and the conditional promises about what he would do if they didn't obey him, it is also stated that he will keep them wherever they go and protect them and will bring them back. Now, of course, the final expulsion out of the land took place in 70 A.D., didn't it? After the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, after their rejection of him as Messiah. And the Romans came in that time and utterly destroyed the city, and that dispersion of the Jews continued until the war. The end of the war is when Jews really began trickling back into the land. There had been some Jews going back to the land, really beginning back in the late 19th century as the Turkish Empire began to fall apart. Jews began buying much of this land and some of the wealthier Jews, and they began urging people to go back. And this continued, and of course, after the Holocaust in World War II, when so many Jews were utterly displaced, they had no homes, they had no countries, they had no place to go, many of them began going back to the land. Now, there you have, once again, God said that he would bring them back, and he has. And what about what happened in all of that time that they were out of the land and living out in the dispersion, in the diaspora? Well, the truth is that these are the most persecuted and maligned people in history. Some of you out here who have been victims of racism, you think you have something to complain about? You had better learn from these Jews, because the Jews are the ones who have been persecuted beyond anything that any of you can imagine. And yet, everyone who ever raised his hand against the Jews has paid for it, even as God said they would. Look at history. I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse them that curse thee. That's God's word, and that is exactly what has promised, what has come to pass, rather. Now, here in Esther, we have Jews living in the dispersion. And we have this mighty king, Ahasuerus, and we are going to see how God deals to protect his people and keep them safe. And this has been a long introduction, but we'll have to stop it there. Come back next time. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.